And the title of my message this morning is Seven Questions Our Lord Asked. Seven Questions Our Lord Jesus Christ Asked. And I'm going to deal with all seven of them if I can this morning. I had this outline in my briefcase for well over a year, and the Lord enabled me to get it together this week. And He asked seven questions. And when you and I ask questions, we ask for information, to learn something, to find out some information. A good educator, that's what they do. They know how to teach, and where people will ask questions and learn. That's the best way in the world to learn, is asking questions and seeking the answer to the question. And we can even ask the Scriptures. We can ask the Scriptures question. If you want to find out what the Bible has to say about something, ask a question. First of all, you say, who is speaking? In this instance, Christ is speaking. You ask, where are they at? He's in the coast of Caesarea Philippi. Why is he asking? What's he talking about? He's asking, who in the world people think I am? And when it happened? And so why? You can ask the Scriptures questions, and the Scriptures will answer your questions. Who's speaking? Who's he speaking to? Why is he speaking? What is he looking for? What's the purpose in it? But our Lord Jesus Christ asked questions. And then when he asks these questions, he doesn't ask it to learn anything like you and I would. But every one of these questions, what he does is, as he asks these questions, he exposes the human heart to the enmity that's against him. He exposes man to be what he really is, and how they despise and reject and hate the Lord Jesus Christ. Every one of the questions exposes that about human nature. And I'll tell you what, and the enmity that they have against him. Here's the first question. He says here in verse 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, he's talking to them now, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? You see, he asked his disciples, because they were out and about. They heard what was going on. They heard the talk about their master. They'd hear what they had to say about him. And then some would say one thing, some would say another thing. And so they answered, and they gave him four different answers. They said unto him, some say you're John the Baptist. John the Baptist, Herod had cut off his head. And even Herod thought that the Lord Jesus Christ was John the Baptist raised from the dead. They said, well, you're John the Baptist. You're that last prophet. You're that one, that voice crying in the wilderness. The next answer was, well, you're Elijah. That prophet that called down fire from heaven. That prophet that destroyed all those false prophets. You're Elijah. And others said, no, he got to be Jeremiah. Because he's a man acquainted with grief and sorrow. He's a man that's just so heavy-hearted and so carries such a burden, and he is so concerned with others that he has to be Jeremiah. And then one of them said, well, he has to be one of the prophets come back. That's what they said. So they gave him four different answers. Well, our Lord Jesus Christ, look what he says now. Then he gets personal. He gets direct to his disciples. And this is what we need to know. He saith unto them, but who say ye that I am? Peter, who do you say? You disciples of mine, what do you say? Who do you say I am? Oh my, listen to what he said. Simon Peter, thou art the Christ. You're the Messiah. You're the one promised of God. You're the one that we read about in the Old Testament. You're the one that's the seed of the woman. And look what he goes on to say. And not only are you the Christ, but you're the Son of who? The living God. God who is alive. God who gives life. God who sent life in the person of His blessed Son. God, the living God. And oh, listen, he answered, and our Lord, you know, and that's what question, if our Lord asked us, what do we say about him? What would we say about him? If somebody says, what, thank you, what do you, who is Christ? Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? What would you say? How would you answer it? You know, when you say that he's the Son of God, you're saying that he is God Almighty, who inhabits eternity, who measures the waters in the hollow of his hands, and counts the stars in heaven, and calls them by name. You're saying that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, who lives and ever lives and will always live. The same today, yesterday, and forever. Now that's a mouthful, to say that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And that's what John said over in his little letter in 1 John. He said, he that believeth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God hath life. And oh, the Antichrist does not believe that he's the Son of God. Not only is he not the Son of God, but God's not even alive. But oh my. And listen to what our Lord, you're talking about blessed. Listen to what our Lord said to Simon Peter. And the Lord answered him. Since he said that, he said that great, wonderful, blessed statement. Our Lord answered, said unto him, O Simon, Simon Peter, you are so blessed. Simon, son of Jonah, flesh and blood hath not revealed that unto thee. Oh, I'm flesh and blood. He said, I'm flesh, and I've got blood. But my flesh and blood didn't even reveal this unto you. That's what our Christ, our Lord, said. Flesh and blood, people like you and me, didn't make him understand that. But my Father which is in heaven, he said, that's how you know I'm the Christ. That's how you know I'm the Son of the living God. And you know, we know he's the Son of the living God because it's been revealed to us. The Father revealed it to us. God from heaven revealed it to us. Now, I want you to look at another question. That's the first question our Lord asked. Look over in Matthew 20. Here's the second question. Here's the second question. He said in verse 15, Matthew 20, verse 15, is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? Now, why did he ask that question? Because he went out, he said, he gave this parable. A man went out to start, he needed people to work for him that day. Went out 6 o'clock in the morning, hired some men, went back out at 9, hired some men, went back out at noon, hired some more men, went out at 3, hired some more men, went out at 5 o'clock, and hired some more men. And then the work day was over at 6 o'clock in the evening. And so those fellas that started work at 6 o'clock and 9 o'clock, they thought, since they had worked so hard, look what they said here in verse 9, when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, the first ones that was called to work that day, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. That last fellow that started working, he got paid first. And the first fellow went to work and he got paid last. And now watch what happened. And when they received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, these last have wrought but just 1 hour. And you have made us equal unto us, made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. Oh my, they was upset about it. They didn't like the way this man was treating them. We've worked all day, and you just give us a penny. These folks just worked an hour, and you give them a penny. That's not equal. That's not right. That's not fair. And oh my, look what he answered. He said unto them, one of them said, friend, I do thee no wrong. When you came to work this morning, didst you not agree with me for a penny? Did you not agree with me that salvation is by grace? That salvation is not something you earn, that everybody gets exactly the same? Did you not agree with that when you first came to say you believe the gospel? Is that not what you believe? Now look what he goes on. Take that to thine ears and go on your way. And I'll give unto this last person that started to work, just as much as I give you. And is it not lawful? And this is what, here's what, and he said, is your eye evil because I am good? Because I give every man the same? Because I treat everybody the same? That I'm not a respecter of persons? And that's where the rub comes. When men don't like God's way of dealing with them, they start finding fault. And let me show you that. You keep Matthew 20 and look over here in Romans chapter 9. Look at Romans chapter 9. This is exactly what happened. You know, and I remember years ago, and people think that they're going to get rewards when they get to heaven. They're going to get to roll over so many sinners, and they're going to get so many crowns, and they're going to get, you know, the fellow that's been so faithful for so long and done so much work and didn't went to all the Sunday school classes. He thinks when he gets to heaven, he's going to have a whole bunch of rewards. And us poor old folks that just ain't done nothing and ain't got nothing, but just believe God and take what He gives us and gives Him thanks for it. People say, well, listen, because I'm good, is you got an evil eye and you're going to find fault with me? You're going to find fault with me because I treat every man the same? I give them just exactly what they got coming? And I tell you, listen, beloved, we're not even worth a penny when it comes right down to it. And if we wanted a penny, wanted more than somebody that got in the last minute, that shows us we didn't believe the grace of God to start with. Now, ain't that right? You take Herman. Herman never became a believer until he's 75 years old. He's done gone to be the glory. Henry Mahan preached the same church for 50 years, and he's 92 years old, and he's up there in Virginia, and he has labored all these years. And you know what he'll say? Bless God, all I want is the grace of God and go to heaven by the grace of God. He ain't going to get upset with God because God did something different from one and another. Oh, listen, look what he said here in Romans 9. In verse 11, for the children, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto the elder shall serve the younger. Oh, Esau is going to end up serving Jacob. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Oh, folks say, well, listen, that's not right. That just can't be fair. And I remember people saying to me when I first started learning the gospel and I started talking to them about the gospel, they say, well, what about these people? What about that people? What about these other people? Don't God have to give them a chance? Salvation is not by chance. Salvation's on purpose. These people here were saved on purpose. The purpose of election, the purpose of calling, without works. God loved Jacob on purpose. And he hated Esau on purpose. And when he calls a fella into his vineyard, that man agrees to him with what he says, I'm going to give you. He said, I'm going to give you grace. I don't want nothing else but grace. I'm going to give you Christ. I don't want nothing else but Christ. Is that right? We agree with that. We don't get upset with him whenever he does something different. But look what else he goes on to say here. And that's the first thing folks say. What shall we say then? God's unrighteous, ain't he? To love one, hate another? To choose one before he's ever born? He ain't done nothing good. He ain't done nothing evil. He's just there. Before he's ever born, he said, I loved him. Before he's ever born, I hated him. Oh, my. But Paul says this, God forbid, you wouldn't dare. Who in the world do you think you are that you go stand and tell God that He's wrong in how He deals with people? You know more about how God deals with people than He does? You mean to tell me you won't stand and tell God that He's not right dealing with this man or that man or another man? You're standing up and telling God that He is wrong in how He deals with people. Oh, you know more than God does. And look what He says. For He says to Moses, I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. And I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. So then, it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth. Oh boy, I've got to get in this thing, and I've got to give it all I've got, and I want to get all my rewards. But of God that showeth mercy. That's it. And I tell you what, these things back over here in our text, back in Matthew 20. When men don't like God's way of dealing with them, they find fault. And they said, we have toiled. That's the first thing they said. We have toiled. They started pointing to what the works they've done. They started pointing to the labor they'd done. They started talking about all the works they'd done and how hard they had labored, how much they had more coming to them. Oh my, they expected more. They expected more. But oh, listen, if Christ is not rewarding us, then I don't know what to tell you. If He's not rewarding us, if the Lord Jesus Christ, the last got exactly what the first one got, and people seem to think that God's going to reward us for what He has done for us and what He's done in us, why would we expect God? God did it all, so what in the world is He going to give us more than that? Can He give us more than Christ? Can He give us more than grace? Can He do any more than put all our sins away by the sacrifice of Himself? Oh, that's why Paul said, for me to live is Christ, to die gain. He didn't say, I want to go to heaven and get my rewards and I'm going to rule over 7 or 8 cities. He didn't say that. He said, I want to depart and be with Christ. And all people expect, you know, if God did it all, then He gets all the glory. If He didn't do it all, then you get some of it. And I tell you what, He did it all. So bless His holy name. He gets all the glory. All right, that's the second question. Let me give you the third question. Matthew 21. Look at verse 42. Here's the third question. Here's the third question. Verse 42. Jesus saith unto them, did you never read in the Scriptures the stone which the builders rejected? The same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. He's quoting from the 818th Psalm. Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth fruits. And whosoever shall fall on this stone which the builders rejected, shall be broken. But on whosoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard his parables, they perceived that he spake of them. Now here's what happened in this situation. Our Lord Jesus Christ says they let this good man let out his vineyard unto some people. And they wouldn't give him the fruits of his labor, the fruits that belonged to him. Well, he said, I'll send this prophet. They killed him. He said, I'll send another prophet. They killed him. They said, I'll send my son. Perhaps they'll give what's coming to him. And when they took the son, the heir, they killed him. They killed him. This heir, come, let us kill him and let's have the inheritance. And they slew him. And I said, he'll miserably stroll these wicked ones. Now what happens? And our Lord Jesus Christ said, when he told them this, did you never read in the Scriptures? where in Isaiah and Psalm 118 where it says, you know, behold, I lay in Zion for a stone, for a sure foundation. And oh, listen, he says, you know, this stone which the builders rejected is the Lord's doing. Now, Christ is the stone upon which His church is going to be built. Christ is the foundation of His church. And so they come and he says, did you never read in the Scriptures that the stone that God provided, the stone that God laid in the corner, the elect stone, the precious stone, the cornerstone, the chief cornerstone, did you never read in there? Did you never read that the stone God provided? The builders. And that's what these Pharisees and Sadducees are. They're builders. They're going to build up the kingdom of God. They're going to build up the kingdom of God, and this is how they do it. And oh my, did you never read it that this is the same that God provided? The Jews and the Pharisees, you know what they built on? They built on the law. They built on the law. That was the foundation of their whole philosophy. That was the foundation of everything. That built on the law. Built on the law. The Pharisees built on self-righteousness. The Pharisees built on washings. And the Pharisees built on tithes. They built on words. Then there's two men went up to the temple to pray. One of them said, the Pharisee stood, and the Scripture said he prayed thus with himself. So if he'd been here praying, he'd been praying with himself, and you've just got to listen to what he's talked about, how good he talked about it. Oh, I thank you that I'm not like that publican over there. That old sorry sinner, that old sorry, nobody cares about that publican over there. But I thank you, I'm not like that publican. I'm not like other men are. Oh, I'm above them. I'm better than them. I know more than them. I am cleaner living than them. And he says, I pay tithes of everything I possess. Of everything I possess. And he said, I'm not an extortioner. I'm not an adulterer. He started talking about all the things that he wasn't. The one thing he wasn't, he wasn't a sinner. And the difference between him and the publican was a sinner. And God sent him down to his house justified. And all they build on their self-righteousness, their workings and their works. Look over here in Matthew 23. Look down through look at verse 1 with me. You know how self-righteousness is exposed. They perceive themselves better than others. If you ever perceive yourself better than anybody else, and listen, the only difference between us and anybody else is the grace of God. So we can't look down our nose at anybody. If you'd have been in Mary Magdalene's day, and you'd have been a Pharisee, you know what you said? This man don't possibly know what evil a woman this is. She's a sinner. Don't he know what kind of woman she is? And that's why we can't look down our nose at anybody. And I'll tell you why we can't. God has saved blasphemers, murderers, adulterers, liars, cheaters, abusers of themselves with mankind. He saved every kind of sinner there is. He saved drug addicts. And so we can't look. The only difference between us and the world out there and us being a blasphemer and us being lost and us being drunks and us being drug addicts and us being the worst kind of people on the face of the earth is the grace of God. That's the only difference. Because I remember what I was like, and I know if God don't keep me, I still got enough in me to damn the whole human race if God don't have mercy on me. And all he goes on here, look what he says now in verse Matthew 23:1. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples. Remember I said, who's he talking to? He says, the scribes and the Pharisees, they sat in Moses' seat. They sat in the place of the law. They sat in Moses' seat where they make the judgment. That's what Moses did. People come to him and he'd make judgments. And all therefore whatsoever they bid you or tell you to do, you observe. You observe what they tell you to do. That observe and do. But now listen to this. But do not do after their works. For they say one thing and don't do it. Oh, they talk about it. They glory in it. They talk about how they keep the law. They talk about how they keep the Ten Commandments. They talk about all their tithe paying. Look what he goes on to say. For they bind heavy burdens. Lay heavy burdens on you. Grievous to be borne. And I tell you, the law's a heavy, heavy weight. And lay them on men's shoulders. But listen to what it says. But they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. They'll put their weight on you and go on about something else. But all their works, they do for it to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. Oh, they want everybody to look how well dressed we are. Oh, how dedicated and devoted we are. And love the uppermost rooms at the feast and the chief seats in the synagogues. They come sit in the front, cross their arms, see what this fellow's going to say. And oh my. But be not ye called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ. And all ye are brethren. Huh? So I tell you what, Christ was that stone, elect, precious. The chief cornerstone that God Himself laid. And you know what? Not only was the Pharisees builders, and they build on the law, and you just read what they build on. But we're builders too. I'm building this morning. I'm building this morning. Every time I come to service, I'm building. And that's why Paul said over in 1 Corinthians 3, says, you know, said, we build. And be careful how you build. The foundation's already been laid. And that foundation is Christ. Now, we build on that foundation. And here's the thing. Either we're going to build wood, hay, and stubble. Or we're going to build on Christ Himself. Wood, it'll burn. Hay, it'll burn. Stubble will burn. And every man's work's going to be tried to see how he builds on that foundation. We're going to build with silver and gold, the silver of Christ's redemption, the gold of His deity. Are we going to make Christ to be all? Are we going to build on man's works? We're going to build on man's worth? Are we going to build on man's goodness? We're going to build on man's free will? Man's self-righteousness? If you do, it's going to burn. But if you build on Christ, the fire, I tell you what, that's why God tries us now with the fire trials. You know why He tries us? We're going to stay on Christ. We're going to trust Christ and trust Him for everything. Or are we going to do something else? Huh? Oh my. All right, here's another question. The fourth question. Look with me over here in Matthew 22. Matthew 22 and verse 41. And here's the situation here. These Pharisees had come and asked Him question after question after question. They asked Him, first of all, about paying taxes. Then they asked Him about the resurrection. And then they asked Him about the law and what the law means. They asked Him three questions. And our Lord Jesus turned around and asked them a question. When they shut up, verse 41, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is He? They say unto Him, why, He's the son of David. He's the son of David. Oh, what think ye of Christ? You got an opinion about me. You got an opinion about the Christ. You got an opinion about the Messiah that's to come. You think something about Him. You're looking for Him to come. You're looking for Him to come and save you. And whose son is He? Well, their answer, the son of David, that's the correct answer. That he was the son of David. According to the flesh, he was the son of David. But that's not the whole answer. He asked, what think ye of Christ, the Messiah? They said, well, he's the son of David. Well, if he's the son of David, here's the conclusion they've got to come to. As the son of David, he's the rightful heir to the throne. Is that not right? God said, I'll raise up a man to sit on your throne forever and ever and ever. Solomon wasn't that king. And so they come and he says, well, he's the son of David. If he's the son of David, and he's the son of David, then that means that he's the king. That means he's the rightful king. That means he's the heir of the throne over all of Israel. Oh my. And that's you know, listen, that's another thing. There's a lot of people that believe that Christ is not king right now. He won't be king till he comes and sits on his throne in the millennial kingdom. If he's not king now, who is he? Who in the world rules over us? And who reigns over us if he's not king? And that's what he said. Oh, if you say I'm the son of David, then I'm your king. Remember when Herod heard that this unto you is born in the city of David, there's this he that's born king of the Jews. And he sent men down there, says, you go down there and kill every child under 2 years old. Because he wanted this king killed. And that's when they took our Lord Jesus into Egypt. He wanted the king of, born king of the, that's what it said, born king of the Jews. They said, we'll kill all them babies. We'll get that king. We'll not have this man to reign over us. We'll get rid of him before he gets a chance. But oh, look what he says. But look what our Lord said. He asked them another question. He saith unto them, how then does David, by the Spirit of God and in his Spirit, call him Lord? If he's the son of David, why does David call him Lord? Why does David acknowledge him as his Savior? Why does David acknowledge him as his Lord? Why does David say, this is my Lord? And my Lord, Jehovah God, said unto my Lord, my Savior, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He said, if my Lord said unto my Lord, look what he says now, sit on my right hand. Oh, listen, this is what he said he's going to do to the son of David. He's going to set him at his own. Why does David call him Lord? Why does David see him sitting on his throne by the right hand of God himself until I make your enemies your footstool? Oh, my. And if David then called him Lord, how then is he David's son? Oh, they missed the whole thing. He's the son of David according to the flesh, but he's the son of God by spirit. And he is God and man in one blessed person. And that's the thing. He's born king of the Jews. And he says, sit at my right hand. How in the world did that happen? And they know the scriptures. This is Psalm 110. And they said, oh my. And look what it says there in verse 46. And no man was able to answer him a word. Oh, we don't know the answer to that question. Neither does any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. Oh, he'll shut them out now. I'm telling you, he knows how to shut them out. He knows how to do it. And let me give you another one real quick here. Look over here in Matthew 21:23. Here's those questions you ask. And it said in verse 23, and when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching. Now these are the big shots in town. I mean, these are the fellows that's got all the power and all the authority. And the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching. Now he's in the temple now. And said, by what authority doest thou these things? Who gave thee this authority? Where did you get the authority to teach anybody anything? Where did you get this authority? Who gave you this authority? I didn't. The chief priest said, we didn't give it to you. You didn't graduate from any of our schools and our seminaries. You're not even a Pharisee. You're not numbered among us. Who in the world gave you this authority? In their mind, authority means that somebody's got to be in control. Somebody's got to run this thing. And they said, where in the world did you get this authority? They're the ones with the power. They're the one with the authority. And what they're saying is, you didn't get it from us. But our Lord's always confounding the wise, makes them look like the fools that they are. And look what he says to them now. And he put a question to them. The baptism of John, where did it come from? Was it from heaven? Or did men give him this authority? And listen, they got off to themselves and they went over here and started murmuring to themselves and started reasoning among themselves and started talking among themselves. Said, now wait a minute. If we're saying it's from heaven, then they'll say, well, why didn't you believe on him? And if we say if it's of men, then we fear the people because they believe John was a prophet. What are we going to do? What are we going to do now? If we say it's from heaven, our Lord's going to look at us and say, well, why didn't you believe John? And if we say if it's of men, everybody in the world is going to be mad at us because I tell you what, they believe that John was a great prophet. So what in the world are we going to do in this situation? What are we going to do? And oh my. And that's what they said. They answered and said unto him, verse 27. We can't tell. There ain't no kind of answer we can give that's going to make us look good. There's not no answer we can give that's going to give knowledge that Christ has got all the authority. There's no answer we can give. He's got us hemmed up in a corner. He has made the wise look so foolish. If we cannot tell, he said unto them, well, I ain't going to tell you by what authority I do these things either. You can't tell me, you can't answer me, I'm not going to answer you. I'm not going to answer you. Oh my. My. Well, let me give you, here's the sixth question. John 8:46. Here's the sixth question. John 8:46. You know, this is where the Lord Jesus Christ came and told them, know the truth and the truth will set you free. And they said, well, man, we've never been in bondage to anybody. We're Abraham's children. Our Lord said, if you were, you'd do what Abraham did. You'd believe God. And just start here in verse 42. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me. That's one way you can tell God your Father. Do you love Christ? Do you love Christ? There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing His word. Sounds like music in mine ear. The sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. And look what he goes on to say. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but He sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Oh, they understood His words. They understood it. He says, you know why you can't hear it? Can't understand my speech? Because you don't have the ability to hear what I'm saying. You don't hear what I'm saying. You don't understand what I'm saying. You don't want to understand what I'm saying. You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you'll do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And then he said, and because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Now, here's the question. Which of you convinces me of sin? Now, you folks say you're above sin. You say you're lawkeepers. You say you stay in that temple and you pray three times a day and you fast and pay tithes of everything you got. And here you are, you're finding fault with me. You won't hear anything I got to say. You can't hear what I got to say. You don't believe me. And I tell you the truth and you say, well, we're not in bondage. Truth will make you free. Well, we don't need to be free. We're not sinners. We're not in any kind of a bondage. And that's exactly the condition most people are in. I had folks say to me, my own children say, Daddy, I know I need to come. I know I need to come. Well, if you know you need to come, why don't you come? You're not going to be saved without the gospel. God's not going to speak to you apart from His Word and apart from His Gospel and apart from a preacher. He's not going to do it. And that's what they said here. They said, oh my. He said, oh, which of you convinces me of sin? It's easy to convince me of sin. My own heart tells me I'm a sinner. My mind tells me I'm a sinner. My actions tell me I'm a sinner. The Scriptures tell me. But He said, which one are you going to convince me of it? Tell me where you've seen me sin. Tell me where you've seen me say the wrong thing. Do the wrong thing. Treat somebody not the right way. Tell me where you saw me do something that wasn't perfect, wasn't glorious, wasn't God-honoring, wasn't the truth. Have you seen me do anything like that? Where did you ever see me do anything that you'd look and say, that man there, boy, he's not who he says he is. I heard him really getting on somebody one day. I heard him straightening somebody out. I heard him say one thing to one people and certain say something else. He says, which of you ever heard me do anything like that? And beloved, our Lord Jesus Christ, what a blessed, whole, glorious thing that He's sinless. Men debate whether He could have sinned or not sinned. There's no debate about it. He didn't. He didn't. We have a high priest who is tempted in all points like us, yet without sin. Huh? Oh my. And He says, and here's the thing, here's what upsets you. If I say the truth, why do you not believe me? Why don't you believe me if I tell you the truth? Now here's where we are. Here's where we are right now. You tell me if this is not you and me. He that is of God, begotten of God, called of God, saved by God, elected of God, born of God, if he that is of God heareth God's words. Are you of God? Do you hear His words? He said, Paris said, you can't hear. You therefore hear them not. You know why you don't hear them? Because you're not of God. You know why people don't receive the gospel? Why they don't believe the gospel? Why they're going to continue on in their self-righteous ways? They can't hear. They're not of God. They're not of God. They're not of God. Huh? And oh my, bless His holy name. No sin. No sin. If He had a sin, then He couldn't be our sin Savior, could He? If there's anything wrong with Him, He couldn't have saved us. Here's the last question. John 6. And this is a question of questions. Look right here. Here's the last question. Start in verse 66. From that time, many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. And He asked this question, will you also go away? Will you also go away? What precipitated this question? Well, our Lord told them that He is that bread that came down from heaven. Their fathers did eat manna in verse 58. The fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and they're dead. But he that eats this bread of life, this bread that came down from heaven. And Philip said, Lord, evermore, give us this bread. And these things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many of his disciples, when they had heard this, they said, this is a hard saying. That's a hard saying. We got to eat his flesh and drink his blood. We got to live by him, live on him, have him to be everything. He's got to be our food. He's got to be our drink. He's got to be our everything. And oh my, they heard that and said, this is a hard saying. Who in the world can hear it? Who can understand it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured, he said, does this offend you? Do you stumble over this? Does this hurt your feelings? Does this make you mad at me, angry at me, and turn from me? If that offends you, well, you wait and see what's going to happen. If you see the Son of Man ascend where he was up before, wait till you see the Son of Man go back to glory and sit at God's right hand. And look what he goes on. It's the Spirit that quickens. It's the Spirit that gives life. It's the Spirit that gives us life through we eat the bread of Christ and we drink his blood. And oh my, the flesh profits nothing. And I tell you, you know it profits nothing because it cannot do anything. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life, and you don't believe it. And he says, but there are some of you that don't believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not. And not only that, but who should betray. He said, therefore, remember I told you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. When he told them that, you know what happened? Crowd around him, big crowd around him. They just start walking away. The scripture says they walked no more with him. Oh my. Walked no more with him. Walking with Christ, talking with Christ, following Christ, hearing what he had to say. And they walked no more with him. Went back. Then said Jesus, 12 left. And he looked at those 12. And he said this, will you also go away? You going to go too? Have I hurt your feelings? Is this too hard a saying for you? You don't want my flesh. You don't want my blood. You don't want that manna that comes down from heaven and live forever. And this is the only answer we can give. This is the only answer we can give. Then says Simon Peter and answered him, Lord, Lord, to whom shall we go? Oh, bless his name. Oh, Lord, to whom shall we go? To whom shall we go? To the Pharisees? To the Sadducees? To the temple? To the law? Oh, Lord, to whom shall we go? Listen to this. Thou hast the words of eternal life. The words that you speak, they're life. They give life to me. They quicken my heart. They quicken my soul. They give me life. And look what this is a confession he makes. Not only that, and we believe and are sure of this, that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Oh my. That's seven good questions, ain't it? And he exposed men's hearts and where they were. And you know the only ones that stayed with him, the only ones that followed him, the only ones that listened to him, was those that are of God. they hear God's word. Huh? Oh my. Seven questions. Our Father, the blessed name of Christ our Lord, thank you for meeting with us today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for these precious truths that you revealed to us, made us to know them, enable us to believe them. God, bless them to our hearts, bless them to our understandings, bless them to our memory. And, oh Lord, please, for Christ's sake, save you people in this place. For we know that He's of God. He hears what God's got to say. And if they hear what God's got to say, and they hear God's word, and they understand it, they believe it, enable them, by your blessed grace, to confess that to your glory. To your glory. Obey you in the word. We ask these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. Amen. Did you hear what